All right. Elle and I were presenting this project together. There are a lot of people who work on this project, and so we'll try to give you a flavor for what's gone on the past year. And for all of you to know, this work is still ongoing. All of our six states the work is not completed yet. So you'll see progress reports from all of us on that. And I think it's important to remember this is a programmatic grant. It's not a research grant. So we're really focused on the delivery of those services. And in this case, it's a joint effort led by the Massachusetts Department of Public Health and with work with Northeastern. We have no relationships to disclose. Our learning objectives for this session are to identify the best ways to adopt best practices for supporting breastfeeding mothers in local circumstances, and identify novel approaches for integrating breastfeeding support with other nutritional and physical activity programs to create healthier communities, which is the key goal in Massachusetts.
So just a little bit about CDC's grant. Again, this is involving the physical activity and obesity program, supplemental funding, and it was based on a competitive application process. And this highlights CDC's focus on breastfeeding as an obesity prevention strategy. And the grant focus was to improve access to post-discharge breastfeeding support with an emphasis on vulnerable populations. And MassDPH is working, again, in conjunction with Northeastern to fulfill the grant requirements. Learning objectives. So we have three objectives that we focused on. The first big objective was the Catalyst grants and pilot baby cafes. They included six breastfeeding care teams and three baby cafe pilot programs, and they are serving over 17 Mass in Motion cities and towns. And each team customized implementation plans in collaboration with MassDPH and Northeastern to provide education, peer mentoring, access to post-discharge and other supportive services to breastfeeding mothers. And objective two was the development and rollout of an online professional continuing ed program targeted at physicians and nurses. And our third objective was to improve consumer awareness. It was to utilize and promote Zip Milk, which we'll be explaining a little bit later, and examine and provide feedback to breastfeeding or on breastfeeding discharge packets and maternity care practice for 48 Mass maternity facilities.
One of the key objectives that we sought to do is really select communities for the grant that were serving underserved populations. And so we actually targeted only and made only those communities that were eligible who actually had disproportionate numbers of participants on public payment and people of color. And you can see here that we actually have we reached our target of having 50% of our target populations on public payment and much higher than what's in the state overall, which is a critical thing in terms of trying to close the gap on disparities. We also are really excited about a recent article that came out this year by Gibson Forrester. If you have not seen it, it really identified how the breastfeeding was the mediator that goes beyond the other social determinants of health that really can close the gap with disparities. And it really talked about, you know, despite indifferences in education and income and so forth, if you deal with the breastfeeding, you can really have an impact on closing the disparities gap. And predominantly formula-fed infants were 2.5 times more likely to be obese at 24 months than those predominantly fed breast milk, controlling for all the other variables that we typically think of in there, which is quite an impressive thing. The other variables that were interesting to note were the fact about emptying the bottle and introduction of solid foods earlier, which obviously comes into play as well.
Okay, so, again, we sought to partner with our Mass in Motion program, and Mass in Motion is a statewide partnership that was launched in 2009 to address obesity as a significant public health problem in Massachusetts. And the initiative includes grants to 52 cities and towns across the Commonwealth, covering 33% of the population, to promote the development and implementation of policies, systems, and environmental change to support healthy eating and active living. And since breastfeeding is an obesity prevention strategy, Mass in Motion communities have been targeted for Catalyst grants and pilot baby cafes to allow greater access to breastfeeding support resources. And so our breastfeeding continuity of care teams include 57 teams in these different communities. So you can see, not that everybody knows the geography of Massachusetts, but we actually have no teams in the city of Boston. Many of our teams are in the suburbs and out in western Mass, north central Massachusetts, and some down closer to Rhode Island.
These teams had a whole variety of interventions that they were doing. In some cases, there was software to track the continuity of care in the rural parts of the western and in the rural parts of the state. There's a whole issue of how you keep track of the patients and coordinate services. So we funded the Catalyst grant program that they applied to, funded the support of that software. In other cases, it was baby cafes. In other cases, it was a grandparent support group. We were able to ask them to support, to provide funding for whatever worked in their communities. The requirements were they had to have a hospital partner, they had to have a WIC program partner, and they had to have a Mass in Motion community-based obesity prevention partner. So what was unique about this process is they had to apply for the funding. We went through a competitive process, and they had to have these partnerships, and they had to make the case about why we should be funding them. And we administered that process in the fall of last year, and the grants were awarded in December, and they began work with the activities in January. There was a lot of variation in what was going on. In some cases, the WIC programs were integrated with the hospitals. In some cases, they were separate. And we learned a lot about how these entities can work together seamlessly or with challenges, because there were some challenges along the way, of course, about how to make that happen. So overall, we also developed a data infrastructure around the services that were being provided with these teams. And that was another thing that was quite unique, to have the WIC program connecting with data from the hospital, connecting with data from another agency, and sharing those data and making it consistent and so forth. And then we used the Institute for Healthcare Improvement Extranet to store the data and track it over time to get that mindset going. So overall, the programs that we're working with, our Catalyst grantees linked into programs that covered, 3,700 births, of which 3,200 of them received discharge support around breastfeeding. So you're going to ask yourself, what is the gap? The gap here are the formula feeding only mothers between that first row and that second row in that data over the first 9 months of the year. We then, CDC wanted us to track mothers who were receiving support with babies under 2 months of age versus babies over 2 months of age. And so you see about 10,510 mothers split accordingly there in terms of the age of the infants. But then we also want to track the number of contacts those mothers were getting. Now, you could have one mother getting multiple contacts, and this intensity is something that's very hard to track and find. So this is still very early in terms of how you begin to collect data, analyze data, manage data around this information. It was challenging to work through that process, but overall, the teams that we were tracking were providing 20,000 contacts to mothers over the past 9 months here in Massachusetts, and we're pretty excited about that in terms of getting the infrastructure in place to do that. In addition to that, there were three baby cafes at three federally qualified health centers and sites. And then what we did for them is we only asked them to submit to us the same data that are submitted to the baby cafe system around the structure. So you see the numbers of contacts here as well. And in this case, they are tracking the exclusively breastfed outcomes as part of the baby cafe tracking. So we have that. And remember, these are moms at the FQHCs in very underserved areas. And there are a lot of challenges in terms of how to integrate the programs with the existing care. Rescheduling the cafe to be at the same time as the prenatal, as the newborn infant visits. And to making sure that even the space of having them walk through the space and be around. These are some of the things we learned in that process. The other thing that we did with this project is to develop a freely available online continuing medical education that's focused on discharge support, post-discharge support. As you all know, there's a lot of research out there on breastfeeding, but most of it isn't oriented to the clinician interacting with the mother after discharge. And that was the goal of this CME. We were awarded we did it in conjunction with the Massachusetts chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and with Homolog Healthcare Systems, who provided the CME credits and the nursing contact hours. And we created this. It's available for everyone at this website, northeastern.edu/breastfeedingCME. And then it's all self-paced. and it works on multiple platforms. We covered what you typically provide. It is focused on the AAP guidelines that came out last year and focused on case studies, integrative case studies around troubleshooting the management and things that mothers would typically encounter, and to help those clinicians provide that information. Overall, to date, in the first 2 months of operation from August to October, we've had 350 professionals complete the CME. We're excited about that. That's a lot for that short amount of time. And we have 71% were nurses and 30%, nearly 30% were physicians. And by the way, just for those who like to know, 90% passed the CME post-test on the first round and 5% failed it and 5% were incomplete.
So another part of our campaign was to promote the Mass Breastfeeding Coalition had developed Zip Milk. I'm not sure if anyone's heard of Zip Milk before. It's our breastfeeding search engine, I guess you might say. It basically, we are going to be promoting this in the future too, but a patient can plug in their zip code and search for the nearest lactation support. So this, in Massachusetts, what's available is 135 IBCLCs, about 27 breastfeeding counselors, free community support groups, WIC breastfeeding coordinators and resources, and medical professionals and other support groups. We also have this available now that other states can plug in. They do pay a fee, and they can maintain as well, so they can have their doctors referring patients to this resource. So we're going to be working on more promotion of this tool.
North Carolina, Louisiana, New Jersey are the other states that have Zip Milk operational. Wisconsin, Iowa are in the works. If you're interested in Zip Milk for your state, contact the Massachusetts Breastfeeding Coalition or Melissa Bartik on the back of the room. We also did an analysis of the discharge packets. We want to make sure initially that Zip Milk was in everybody's discharge packet so that the mothers would know how to find that. When we got the discharge packets from every facility in the state, we saw that there was a lot more we could do in terms of providing feedback. So we did an analysis and created a report of the discharge packets, not only for just all the different topics around breastfeeding, but also which criteria align with the baby-friendly hospital initiative, and create examples of what's also included in general discharge information, like the perinatal ticket to discharge from the Institute for Health Improvement, as well as the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation discharge information about what needs to be in a good discharge packet. And so those reports are actually rolling out, you know, this week to all the hospitals that provided them in that structure. And I have an example here if anyone wants to see it. Overall, I'm not going to go into this at all, but we did collect information at baseline around collaboration in the communities to see how the teams were working. So we have a number of at least four respondents in each community team to see how they're collaborating, and we're going to be collecting that again in December at the end of the study. Finally, lessons learned about what's important here. We really could not take one size fits all and apply it. It was so different based upon the mix of services there, and you have to have some guidelines and figure out how to share the resources across an entity and have them work together. I think what was driving a lot was every one of these communities had committed to this concept of a healthy community, working together for the sake of the population of the community, and that's a shift in mindset. And then the breastfeeding could go right into that, and we saw a lot of synergies with that. We also found it an opportunity to get other people not familiar with breastfeeding to be engaged about breastfeeding as a health behavior. And that was another important thing that came out of the process. The one-year time period is really hard to work with, but I do think that we had a good baseline here for collecting data. Finally, I want to acknowledge all the people that have worked on this, but mostly to acknowledge the fact that we had to work with 104 organizations to get this grant going across different sites, which is a lot to gather and do, and we have a big team of people doing it, and here are some of the key people that have been working at it at DPH and Northeastern, and we're really grateful for all that that everyone's been doing. Thank you. Questions? Wow. It will be. It's very close. It will be available.
And how would we access it?
It'd be on the Massachusetts Department of Public Health website, in about a week or so. Or
yeah, you can email me, and I can, yeah, when it's available, we'll be putting it up.
Okay, great.
The size of the grant was 465 or 85,000, roughly, and it was a lot of the mixing and matching of multiple FTEs and, you know, just the different parts of the grant and program and volunteer work and shared resources and so forth.
How many FTEs were paid for?
I don't remember. I don't think we actually totaled it that way specifically.
No, there were so many.
Because you had people who already had salary. There were people on salary from the WIC program that worked on the grant as part of their jobs at WIC. We haven't done the analysis. Deb?
On the Zip Note pay, which was fascinating to me, is that only available in languages other than English?
Not
yet.
This time, no. I think if you had someone guide you, like, I mean, say you were at WIC or at the hospital and you worked with a mom to find, sometimes in under ZipNuts, they do have speak Spanish or speak Chinese. They might have like a little.
I'm thinking about the discharge package that you were mentioning. That would be really helpful.
Yeah, that's something to think about. Yeah.
We did do what we did have the other language discharge package as part of the criteria that we were looking at, but that's not the ZipNut would be different. Yes. We had a whole range of things. In some cases, it was the hospital who was running a support group for the mothers who not just delivered there, but other mothers in the community, but it might be held at the hospital. In other cases, it was through the WIC program. It was tied to other early child care-related services for that. And in one case, it was La Leche League. The Plymouth site had good integration with La Leche League. Some of the other sites did not. It varied from place to place.